And welcome to another exciting session here in Ever Increasing Word Training Center. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful for the ministry gift, Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr. Without him, a move of God could have possibly been lost. But because of God supernaturally training him, and he's now supernaturally and apostolically and prophetically training us. These are not just Christian buzzwords. These are lifestyles. Our lives would not be the same this year. Holy Spirit, have your way. Tonight, in this particular session, we're going to finish up on the three categories of gifts. And then we will move forward to the next chapter, which deals with the gift of prophecy. Let us begin where we left off. I think we were dealing with the power gifts, gifts that do something. Now, the three, there are nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. But I want to emphasize this to the students. I want you to hear me clearly. Verse number 7 and verse number 11 is sandwiches the gifts. You know, like a sandwich. Verse number 7 say, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many men? Come on. Where y'all at? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to what? How many men? Every man. All men. To profit with all. You listening? Here's the problem. In the church, we are fulfilling the first part of 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 1, what does he say? Now, brethren, now concerning what? Spiritual gifts, I will not have you to be what? Ignorant. I believe the church has been ignorant of spiritual gifts for far too long. The main gift the church is functioning on, I'm talking about spirit-filled believers, is speaking in tongues. That's about it. You listening? But I believe because of the apostolic call and the mandate that's upon LTMA and this school of ministry that we're going to see much progress made in moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy. Verse 11 of the same chapter says, but all these work it by what? That one and self-same Spirit dividing to what? Every man, now notice that word, severally, as he wills, as the Holy Spirit wills. So you can say, I have a gift mix. You listening? Not just one. He divides to every man, it says, severally. You listening? On last session, we talked about, I believe, 1 Corinthians 12, 31, that says what? But covet what? Earnestly, the best gifts, you know, the best gifts. The best gifts are the one that you need to have in the moment that you need them. You listening? Yes, sir. The best gifts are also your gift mix. You heard me? The ones that he divided to you. You listening? For you to function in, for you to develop. You listening? Now, the three categories of gifts, once again, are mouth gifts, speaking gifts, gifts that say something. They are the gift of prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. We have explained that diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues are equivalent to prophecy for this one reason. For this what? One reason. when you're functioning in diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, there's no need for you to pray. You listening? There's no need to pray. It functions right on the spot. You understand? Those gifts will flow together as one right on the spot. Are you listening? Yes, prophecy is what? A nickel. Diverse kinds of tongues. Well, prophecy rather is a dime. And diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues are a nickel. You listening? Now give me the definition of prophecy, because I want to expound on it, make sure I'm going to give you these definitions over and over again, because I want you to, I want every person under the sound of my voice, you must desire to prophesy, because prophesying is for the edification of the church. You listening? It's for the exhortation in the church, and it is to bring comfort to the church. You listening? Prophecy moves beyond you, the individual, and blesses the entire congregation. You listening? Or the people present. What's the definition for prophecy?
To speak on the behalf of God.
To speak on the behalf of God. The divinely inspired
and anointed utterance.
That is received for the people present.
It is the supernatural utterance.
It is the supernatural utterance
in a known
tongue.
And it's a supernatural utterance.
And it's a supernatural utterance that is inspired by God
in a known tongue.
And it is a message from God
to a specific person
or specific group. At a specific time, you ready for this? In a known language. Inspired. That means God breathed. You listening? All scripture is given by what? The inspiration of God. God wants to breathe on you and breathe on me. Supernaturally. You listening? Okay. We said that the mouth gifts sets the flow for the other six to flow through. The gifts, the power gifts, and the gifts of revelation. Gifts of revelation do what? They reveal something. You listening? Well, the power gifts, they do something. Let's begin with the power gifts.
There are three power gifts. The gifts of healing.
The gifts. Notice it's plural. The gifts of healings.
The working of miracles.
And the gift of special faith. Now, it's very important, children, to say this when I receive these gifts and I release these gifts. You have to do them. You have to be serious about this. You have to have a focus. You listening? My gift mix is designed to propel me farther into my destiny. Go ahead.
Power gifts
are avenues of what?
Demonstration.
Oh, Lord. Power gifts are avenues of demonstration. Say that.
The power gifts are what?
Avenues of what? What does that mean? What does that mean? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Hurry up, get there. And I was with you in, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. Okay, I was in verse 3, must be. I was, okay, well, why you won't read 4 and I was quoting 3? I'm just saying, see how they mess with you in class, students? If you're a good preacher, don't worry about it. Now give me 3, 4, and 5.
Yes, sir.
And I was with you
in weakness
and in fear
and in what?
Much trembling.
And my speech and my preaching
was not with enticing words of what? Man's wisdom,
but in,
but in demonstration of the what? Spirit and of what? Power. But there's a reason for that. Verse number 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Notice in verse number 4 it said, right? Verse number 4 talked about demonstration of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
And of power.
Yes.
Now, how is it that in verse 4, it talks about demonstration of the Spirit and of power, and we never see 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in manifestation? They don't go hand in hand. You listening? All right. Did you understand what I said? If we're supposed to be flowing in demonstrations of the Spirit and of power so that people's faith and confidence won't be in us, but in the power of God, then these gifts must be on display. Watch this, in our lives. But they cannot be if we don't covet them. Covet them. Desire spiritual gifts. You listening? In 1 Corinthians 12, 31, it says, covet what? Earnestly the best gifts, right? And then in 1 Corinthians 14, 1, it says, follow after charity and do what? Desire what? Spiritual gifts. So if I don't have a desire, there's not going to be a manifestation. Are you listening? Go ahead on, daughter. The power gifts reveal the power of God.
To heal the sick. The power gifts reveal God's power.
The power gifts reveals God's power.
To create. They reveal God's sovereignty.
They reveal God. Oh, that's a good one, huh? They reveal God's what? Sovereignty. That he is the supreme ruler of the universe and no power is greater than his. He can never be overruled. Go ahead.
They reveal the overcoming power
of God
in the believer.
They reveal that God
can overrule
in all the areas
where the devil is presently ruling
and they create
and they release
a consciousness
of God's sovereignty
over the works of sin,
man and the devil.
Did you hear that? That's why these power gifts got to be in manifestation in our lives. You listening? Go ahead.
Power gifts
reveal the works of God. They reveal the works of God
to the people of God. The works of God
empowers us as believers
to fulfill the purposes of God
in our lives.
God outworks his plan
and his purposes
and causes all things contrary
to his desires
to yield
until it is conformed
to the will of God.
Romans 8:28.
And we know what?
And we know that what?
All things work together for what?
For good.
For what?
Good.
To what?
To them that love God
and who are
the called
according to what?
God's purpose.
But, you know,
in order to get to
Romans 8:28,
you can't bypass
8:26.
Because
8:26
says what?
Likewise,
the Spirit
also what?
Helpeth
what?
Our
infirmities.
For we
know not what we
should what?
Pray for
as we what?
Ought.
But the
Spirit
himself
maketh
intercession
for us
with what?
Groanings
that what?
Cannot
be uttered.
And
he that what?
Searcheth
the hearts,
knoweth
what is
the mind
of the Spirit,
because
he what? maketh intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. So if you and I are struggling with the will of God, we're not living in Romans 8, 26 through 28. Are you listening? Now in Matthew chapter 11, read me the first couple of verses in Matthew chapter 11, because power gifts show God off. See, in the church, we have a lot of programs. You know, people think that's what it's all about. We have a lot of programs and we want a lot of fellowship. And the world is suffering. You listening? But I want you to pay close attention to this passage of scripture. It came up for class tonight. Go ahead.
Jesus has made an end of commanding this
disciples. Now, I need y'all to read real clear. Y'all be way to the back. What it say? When Jesus made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. Matthew 11 and 1. Oh, okay. All right, thank y'all. He and 10 must be somewhere. Read it again.
And it came to pass.
When Jesus had made an end of commanding
his 12 disciples,
he departed thence
to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, this is why I went here.
Now when John, who is John? John the Baptist, the forerunner to Jesus Christ, the preparer of the way. Now when John had heard in prison. The works of who?
Christ.
You know when it say the works of Christ, it's talking about you and me. You listening? Go ahead.
He sent two of his disciples.
And said unto Jesus. Did you hear what John sent his disciples to ask Jesus? Are you the one that should come? Or do we look for another? This is the man who said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is the one who said, he that cometh after me is preferred before me because he was before me. This is the one who said, he must increase. I must decrease. Why is it now he's sending to Jesus saying, are you the one or do I look for another? When you get offended, offended, you lose sight of who you're supposed to follow. Come on, go ahead.
The power gift.
No. They got to finish reading that. Passage. Come on. You got her reading because you're not reading.
Jesus answered and said unto them. Go and show John.
Now notice this phrase. Go and show John
again.
Hold it. Go and show John what?
Again.
Which means you saw this before.
Right.
What?
Those things which you do what? Hear and see. The blind receive their sight.
This is not no spiritual stuff here. This is talking about a real blind man, born from birth blind, received his sight. This is talking about two blind men who came to Jesus and approached him. And say, Lord, we want our eyesight. And Jesus said, you believe I can do this? Jesus said, you believe I can do this. You listening? According to your faith, be it done unto you. And they received their sight. The blind receive their sight. That's the day we're in now. Go ahead.
And the lamb walked.
Paralyzed folk get up and walk. The lepers are what? The lepers are cleansed. Go ahead.
And the what?
The deaf hear.
The dead are raised up.
And even the dead are raised up.
And the poor have the gospel
preached unto them. Keep reading.
And
said, what are you doing? Blessed is he
whosoever shall not be offended in me.
Why would Jesus send that message at the end to John, who sent his disciples? Did you also notice that in this text, Jesus is saying all of these power gifts are in manifestation? What y'all think he's talking about? That's the gifts of healing in manifestation, in demonstration. When they brought people to Jesus, the scriptures say he healed them all. That's the gifts of healing and healings in manifestation. He didn't have to pray. He released. Do you know what St. John 3:34 says? He whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the spirit by measure unto him. Our apostle just released out of meditation, say we need to be functioning from a full supply of the spirit. We must pay attention. Things are wrapping up. They're getting heated, but we're in a good spot. Go ahead, darling. Let's finish this.
The power gifts
allow the workings of God
in the believer,
and apostolic believers, God say, I want this working in you so my power can be clearly seen. Are you listening? If I just work through fivefold ministry, who's supposed to be training you to do the works of Christ? You listening? We won't get as much accomplished as we should. That's why the pastoral form of government have people coming to us. You listening? Versus us training them, heal yourself, physician. And heal other folks around you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Y'all, I know y'all not gonna like me, but I'm gonna say it. It's not gonna be all that pastor, pray for me. Hell, I done grown up, I can pray for myself. Now look at y'all, y'all done got quiet. That's the pastoral form. See, done taught you like you can't go to God for yourself. We are training you as apostolic believers. You listening? We are equipping you to become Christ. So if you are Christ, you can do his works. Just like he did his father's work. Go ahead, daughter.
The works of God
will reveal the manifested presence of God.
The power gifts
will ultimately reveal
the person
of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Power gifts
are instruments
to bring in whatever we need
to do
for those
whom we are ministering to. Did you catch that? No, you didn't hear me. The power gifts makes available to us, you listening, to bring deliverance to anyone we're in contact with, because these are performing gifts. Boy, y'all are just quiet. I understand you done ate too many religious biscuits. You want somebody else to pray for you. No, it's time to grow up. We getting you out the diapers and off the bottle. Go ahead, daughter. We become open channels
to perform on God's behalf
what he desires to be done
for that person.
We become his hands
in demonstration
to execute God's will
and God's pleasure
upon that person.
Gifts make us effective witnesses.
God wants effective witnesses.
Acts 1:8.
But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in what? Samaria, and unto the what? Uttermost parts of the earth. But you shall. That's what Jesus told them. But you shall. You shall receive the same power I function with. You have the same Holy Spirit I have, because when I ascend to my Father, I'm going to send him back to you. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
A wise witness
winneth souls.
Proverbs
11 and 30. That's how you're going to win a lot of souls to Christ. Demonstrating. Go ahead.
God wants us
to say the things he wants us to say.
That's the vocal gifts.
To know the things he wants us to know.
Revelation.
That's the revelational gifts.
And to do the things
he wants us to do.
That's the power gifts.
The nine gifts. The nine gifts of the Spirit are our earthly inheritance. They are for us to function. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
It's like parents leaving their children. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Do you understand what that means? Your children don't have to struggle in this life, because they can live from an inheritance that you left them. Are you listening? The Lord Jesus Christ left us an inheritance. You listening? Of how things can be accomplished. You listening? Through the nine manifestations of the Spirit, which he functioned in. You listening? In his earthly ministry. Let's go on to the gift of prophecy. That was the end of the chapter, wasn't it? Well, that's okay. We're not going to do them. They get that next class. Go ahead.
The concept of Old Testament prophecy.
There are two Hebrew words
that are used to describe
the function of prophecy.
One describes human activity.
And the other describes divine activity.
The prophetic message
is both the words of the prophet and the word of the Lord.
Naba.
Naba means human activity.
And
Naba means to bubble up
and to gush forth.
Or to pour forth. You remember what Jesus said in St. John 7? Huh? To those that believe on me? He lifted up and cried out with a loud voice. John 7:37. You over there yet? Or is it John 7:35? In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come after me and what?
Drink.
He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall what? Flow rivers of what? Living water. Read on. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should what?
Receive.
For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Y'all ready for this? He's been given because Jesus has been glorified. You listening? So this bubbling up and this gushing forth is the river of life that's on the inside of every believer. You listening? You listening? You start off with a well inside. You listening? But as you are filled, that well turns to a river.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead, daughter.
Naba
reflects the influence
of the Holy Spirit
upon the human personality
and spirit.
Until the message bubbles up,
gushes forth,
and pours out
of the prophet's lips.
Like a mighty river.
The anointed message
stirs the heart of the man,
causing his heart to respond
towards God,
to express God's feelings,
thoughts,
and words.
Nataph
means divine activity.
It means to drop. To fall as drops of rain.
It reflects It reflects the prophetic message
as a direct result
of divine activity
coming from God.
Who is what? The source of life.
Divine activity
sets the motion
for human activity.
Prophecy
is not a product of human deduction.
Prophecy is not a product of human
deduction
or reasoning.
Prophecy is one
that starts out
within the heart
and in the mind
of God.
Now, let's go through the process of Old Testament prophecy.
Two Old Testament words,
Roah
and Chozah,
both means
seer,
and are synonyms
for the word prophet.
The word seer
is descriptive
of the receptive function.
It refers to man's ability
to see into the realm of the spirit,
to hear,
and to receive what?
God's message.
He's able to have access
into the realm of the spirit,
to tap into revelation knowledge
and the unfolding
of God's plans and God's purposes.
The word prophet
is descriptive
of the communicative function.
It refers to man's ability
to communicate
what God is saying
or what God wants to say
to his people.
The ability to administrate the word
is clarity and wisdom.
Only after the word
is properly delivered
does God hold the hearer
of the word
responsible and accountable.
Men must learn
how to tune into proper
what?
Reception.
That means you have to be on the right frequency.
Go ahead.
Must tune into proper reception
of God's word
by training,
notice this,
by you and I training our own spirits
to become spiritually sensitive.
God can't do that for you.
And your man or your woman of God cannot do that for you.
In this day, in order to become spiritually sensitive,
we must spend intimate time with God,
according to Jude 20.
But ye beloved, building up yourselves
on your most holy faith,
praying in the Holy Ghost.
Praying in what?
The Holy Ghost.
Praying in what?
The Holy Ghost.
Do you know what Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14?
I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all.
I know Apostle has been hammering this, but because he's not seeing the production that he wants to see.
You listening?
He's saying to us what?
I need you to get at it.
Go ahead.
The concept of New Testament prophecy.
Prophetail
means to prophesy,
to speak on the behalf of another,
to be another spokesman,
or another's what?
Mouthpiece.
Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
When you function in prophecy, you are God's mouthpiece.
You are no different than what happened with Moses.
God put words in Moses' mouth to speak to Pharaoh. When Moses refused, then God said, okay, Moses, I don't have time to waste with you. Tell me, you are not a man of eloquent speech. I made your mouth. But since you don't want to do it, your brother Aaron, yes, he's an eloquent speaker, but he's not the one that I chose. So I tell you what I'm going to do, Moses. I'm going to put words in your mouth. You take the words I put in your mouth and you speak them to Aaron. When you speak the words I put in your mouth to your brother Aaron, you become a God to Aaron. And when Aaron speak out the words you gave him, Aaron becomes your prophet. I know that's fast. Just go over it. You need to understand it. When God puts words in your mouth, it is God speaking. Quit acting like God can't speak through you. Go ahead.
Forth telling are part of the prophetic flow.
That's a part of the prophetic flow.
Because of this,
there's the misconception
of all who prophesy
are prophets.
Establishing a workable concept
of prophecy.
The New Testament prophet has the ability to hear
or to receive
directly from God
into his spirit
and not his mind.
Now that's very important. I'm going to show you why in a second. Go ahead.
He has the ability
to discern
and to respond rightly
to the word of God that's received.
He deciphers the word accurately.
This is the New Testament prophet. Go ahead.
He needs to develop the wisdom
to communicate the word received
to the people present. The definition of New Testament prophecy.
The simplest definition of prophecy is
to speak on the behalf of God,
the divinely inspired
and anointed utterance
that is received for the people present.
Speaking in tongues
is a supernatural utterance
in an unknown tongue.
So prophecy read that statement again because I wanted to hit home.
Speaking in tongues
is a supernatural utterance
in a what?
Unknown tongue. Unknown to the one who doing the speaking.
Right.
You listening? Yes. That's speaking in tongues. You listening?
Yes.
When you speak in an unknown tongue, you listening? You're not speaking unto men. But you're speaking unto who? God. No man understand you if you're just what? Speaking in tongues. But still, in the process of speaking in tongues, you are receiving from God divine mysteries. Do you hear me? You're unlocking secrets. But here's something you need to know. You listening? Speaking in tongues, let's edify just you. Go ahead, daughter.
Prophecy
is a supernatural utterance
in a known tongue.
It is a manifestation
of the Holy Spirit
and not that
of the human mind.
Now you see the difference. Why? In 1 Corinthians 12, discerning of spirits and the diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues are equivalent to prophecy. You want to know why? Your mind is not involved. Did you see it?
Yes,
you don't have to say, okay, God, I'm speaking in tongues, what am I praying? Come on, children. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, read the first couple of verses. Come on, hurry up quickly. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. But rather that you may what? You see why he wants you to prophesy? Do you see why? You're speaking a divine inspired utterance directly from God. You listening? But that concludes this evening's session. We'll pick up with chapter 4 on our next session. Enjoy your evenings.